When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. I am Matt Bungard, and with me today, Nick Campton. Hello.
Hey, man. We're back on the regular feed for the first time in almost a month. The lazy summer days are over, and we're shifting into take mode. It's great.
Yes, unfortunately, the lazy summer weather is still with us. It is a stonking 37 degrees and not sunny outside, the worst combination of things. But we are here to try and brighten up your day with some news notes, and then we'll be taking a deep dive into a footy game from yesteryear. But
it's like living inside an armpit at the minute.
It really
absolutely
is.
Absolutely terrible.
But welcome back. I did a little interview last week, and then patrons would have heard us do a question time earlier this week, but this is the first time Nick and I have been back on the airways with you in 2024. Big year to come. Lots of exciting things that will be announced very soon. We've got our season previews coming up and plenty more. Stay tuned. But for now, let's jump into some news.
Simi Renrandra trying the chip and chase. Oh, no, it's Simi Renrandra. Renrandra's away. Simi Renrandra.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Oh, yes, it will. Yes.
Simi Renrandra.
Absolutely buried it. Rantrantra.
When Tevita Pangai retired, in inverted commas, what percentage of you would have bet your life savings that he would at some point play rugby league again?
Look, a small percentage, but it's only because my life savings are meager and would not proffer much of a return.
You know? I would have put everything except my Boba Fett action figure.
Even the life of your dog, Link.
Yep. Oh, and never bet the Fett Man or Link. But it was to me,
I think I would like Link a lot. I would like Link a lot more if his name was Boba Fett.
I'll put that to Charles. She does love Star Wars, so maybe we could
see. Here we go.
Yeah. But Tevita Pangai Jr. Back training with the Broncos, could be in the fold in some capacity going forward. He's obviously not the player he was in his first stint at Brisbane at his best. But this, I mean, I never thought the boxing thing was real. I always thought he would come back to the NRL at some point. And if you'd asked me to bet on a club, I probably would have said the Broncos as well. So none of this is coming as a surprise to me, Nick. The one thing that kind of is surprising to me is how divided Broncos fans seem to be in this. Some of them are like, yeah, well, you know, it's a bit of a free roll here, a bit of a lottery ticket. If he works, he works. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And others just don't want him anywhere near the boys. So it's really going to be interesting to see how this shakes out.
It will be. It's not as simple as just getting him in on a cheap deal, getting him fit and having him come off the bench and crack a few heads for 20 minutes each week. He's talking about playing footy and boxing at the same time. I think with the way that sort of rosters and squads and contracts and all that work out, along with, you know, the fact that he does want to have a couple of fights in the early part of this year, I don't think the Broncos are actually going to be able to sign him until June. I'm pretty sure I read that right in the Courier Mail, the Brisbane paper of note. And so if I was the Broncos, you know, having him down at training, hanging out with the boys is fine. He's clearly still very close to a lot of the players. I think guys like Payne Haas and Pat Carrigan, Pango Jr. was something of a senior player and a real alpha male when they were coming through the ranks. So, you know, they're obviously very close to him. Don't have a problem being down there hanging out. But in terms of making a play and come back, I'd kind of be like, you know what, Tevita, if you can't join the club till June, we'll see how you go. All right, come back, and if you fit, then we might play your big dog. But he seems like the kind of guy whose wants and needs and desires for his own career change a lot and change rapidly. And I can see why going back up to Brisbane, catching up with all the boys, being around a team that is really successful and being around a program that clearly has a great vibe around it right now, I can see why he'd want to be a part of that. But to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think Brisbane need him at all. You know, I know that they've lost a couple of key guys over this offseason. They've lost Tom Flegler to the Dolphins. They've lost Kurt Capewell to the Warriors. They probably don't have as much experience in the middle of the field, but like a lack of experience and a lack of talent aren't always the same thing. I think they've got a couple of guys who are really ready to make a big step up. Like Xavier Willison, who's played like, I think, 10 or 11 games over the last couple of years. I think he's ready to take that next step. They've got this absolute young giant named Ben Takura, who Kevin Walters has been really excited
about.
All preseason. A big boy, a big unit. And if I was the Broncos and I had a coaching staff that had been so successful in building a really strong workman-like culture that over the last 12 months, a culture where you've seen guys like Keenan Palacio go from bit part first graders to like absolute killers. You know, there are guys who were a lot less talented than Tevita Pangai was in his heyday who got a lot out of themselves. You know, I would rather give the shot to someone like Rory Ferguson, who's probably a name that a lot of people don't know, but he was captain of South Logan last year. He's one of those guys who's been grinding away in the Q Cup for a good couple of seasons. I would rather reward an opportunity to somebody like that than give it to Pangai Jr., who it seems pretty clear plays hard when he wants, trains hard when he wants, puts in when he wants, you know? And I don't like saying that about Tevita Pangai Jr. because I've been a huge believer for a really long time. Like 2024 is the beginning of my second decade of believing in, or it would have been, if I was still in on Pangai Jr., 2024 would be the beginning of my second decade believing in him. Mm. You know, I loved him when he was at Canberra. I always loved him at the Broncos. I made a lot of excuses for him when he didn't quite live up to it or when he had things go wrong off the field. Talked a lot about at Penrith, how good he was for them, how they don't win that prelim against Melbourne in 2021 without him. I defended the when he signed with the Bulldogs, and he was a bit lackluster. I was like, there's still something there. Even when he got picked for the Blues last year, I was like, this can still work. But at some point, a guy is what his record says he is, you know? And I haven't forgotten that when Pangai Jr. did announce that he was retiring last year to go on box, he said, I'm sick of listening to coaches. I'm sick of listening to halfbacks. I want to do my own thing. I'm like, that's fine, man. But like, I don't know. I don't know if you want somebody with an attitude like that around your squad, you know?
The strength for Brisbane in the last couple of years is how everyone's sort of buying into this one team, one goal mentality, and no one's getting out of line. And we've seen in very sort of small examples of like when guys do get out of line, they suddenly, you know, Corey Pakes, for example, like gets a bit out of shape about his playing time. He's out of the team. Tyson Smoothie steps up. And they've kind of sort of been this one team, one goal, very premiership driven squad for the better part of the last 2 years. And I think it does kind of send a pretty bad message to welcome a guy like Pangai with his attitude issues. And as you just highlighted, the comments that he made as recently as what, 3 or 4 months ago, just to welcome a guy like that back into the fold. And then with him there, that would be pushing someone else down the totem pole as well. Like, I don't think any aspect of it would reflect the values that Kevin Walters has tried to install in Brisbane in the last 18 months to 24 months. And so I'd be shocked, but reasonably surprised if he plays any sort of like meaningful part in Brisbane's push for a premiership in the second half of this season. I would be relatively shocked if he is a meaningful contributor, even if it is just 20 minutes off the bench. If he is hanging around at training for the next couple of months, that's a different story. But to everything you just said, and for everything that we've seen the Broncos both say and back up with their actions in the last two seasons, I think I agree with you, mate. I would be relatively surprised, not just if he was there, but if he was able to have a contribution that you could say is a net positive, which is kind of sad that we're saying this about a guy who even as little as like 2 or 3 years ago was still a guy that was very respected and very fearsome when it came to running the football. And it's still a guy that was so highly regarded despite, you know, his problems at Brisbane and leaving, going to Penrith, going to the Dogs, all that stuff. But yeah, I'm with you. I can't see this working out with a rosy ending for Tevita and the Broncos.
God, we sound like our fathers, don't we?
It's a little bit, but like, I think that there is I think that no matter how old you are and, it's kind of obvious that Brisbane have had a real culture change since Walters got there, and especially since they've sort of had this era of being back to being one of the big dogs in the competition again. They've really tried to go away from everything that we mocked them for in that sort of period, the Seibold period and the period just before and after that, where like basically after, sorry, just after Wayne leaves, and then they're kind of in the wilderness for a couple of years there. They get the wooden spoon, and you know, it seemed like a very individualistic team at times. It seemed like a lot of guys were just out there sort of doing their own thing. There was like Milford's form went off the cliff. Tevita Pangai left the club. I mean, I think you could sum it up with Darius Boyd doing a gender reveal on the field after they got pumped by 7,000 points. Like, this was a club that was deeply unserious a couple of years ago, and they've taken great strides to turn all of that around in 2022 and 23, and going into 2024, they're going to be one of the favourites to finally knock Penrith off the perch. So, yeah, I just think it clashes with everything that we've seen from them.
Yeah, and like Brisbane are a club where it's very easy to get ahead of yourself because, you know, they are so big and so visible, and for such a long time, they were the only game in town in one of rugby league's great cities. That's a little bit different now with the Dolphins, but that sort of Bronco exceptionalism still abides, you know, and you can become a star there far more quickly than you can at other clubs. And I think for a while there, or for a long time there, Brisbane sort of lost their way. Guys got spots in the team before they really earned it, before they had to really fight for it. And I think a lot of them took it for granted, you know, and they've changed that a lot. They've changed that a lot. If you look at a different veteran prop who went there last year and was a great success, was Martin Tapau. Right.
Absolutely.
So I thought he was really slowing down at Manly. I thought he didn't have much of a future in the league. I thought he hadn't sort of really grasped that time had come for him for a little bit, and he couldn't be, you know, the beast in the middle of the field that he had been in the past. But he went to Brisbane, totally embraced the role of coming off the bench, being a veteran leader, providing great energy, providing a great example to the young fellas, not just in games, but in training as well. One of my favorite things, one of my favorite little moments in the Broncos season last year was during the first battle of Brisbane, when Katoni Stagg latches onto that Milford kick and takes off and goes the length of the field. Watch the replay. Tapau is on the sideline and he's going absolutely crazy. He's got like a towel out and he's whipping it around like he's cheering the Pittsburgh Steelers or something like that. It's fabulous stuff, right? And it was a real credit to Tapau that he was able to make that change because a lot of guys aren't. And I just don't know if Tevita Pangai Jr. could make that sort of change.
No.
You know, but like I said, I think Brisbane, if I was Brisbane, I'd say, okay, big dog, like, come back when you like. If you think you can actually do this, come back in June and we'll talk about it then. Because like everything could have changed by then. Maybe he gets knocked out twice and he's like, "No, this actually sucks. I want to go play Q Cup somewhere." Or maybe he wins both the fights and he's like, "Oh, actually, I want to fight at Madison Square Garden. It's going to be great." Like, I enjoyed the Tevita Pangai Jr. ride for a really long time, but I'm ready to get off. I'm ready to get off.
Totally fair. The Dragons look to have signed Ronald Volkman for 2024, which is a sign that you quite liked at the time. But then in the days since that was announced, it's come out that he failed the medical, gone back to the Warriors, and now the Warriors will be fitting the bill for his shoulder surgery that he's going to have. A real tough couple of weeks for the young playmaker who's shown some flashes of sort of having what it takes to play at the NRL level at times.
Yeah, it's a tremendous shame for Volkman and for Saints because I did really like this as a signing. I think he's a young player with a lot of upside who's done really, really well in Reggie's over the last couple of years and probably needed a chance to make that step up, but he can't do that at the Warriors because there's so many blokes in front of him. I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever heard of a player failing a medical at a new club, and then we had two of them in quick succession.
It's a very soccer
Takeaho
thing.
And Volkman. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Very much so. And this one's still got a fair bit of runway on it, I think. The Warriors are blaming the Dragons for not doing their due diligence. I think the Dragons are saying that the injury happened at the Warriors and they weren't told about it or something like that. So there's a real tug. Well, there was some good news earlier this week. The Warriors are going to foot the bill for his shoulder surgery. So that should get him back on the field at some point. I've no doubt that he'll wash up somewhere and get a chance somewhere. He's talented enough that someone will still take a shot on him. But I tell you, it just continues what has been a like a horror offseason for the Dragons. Like, feels like nothing's going right there at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, they got Corey Allen. He's already gone. Ron Volkman not coming at all. And still massive question marks. I mean, not even mentioning the Amon stuff, but like, yeah, still massive question marks in a bunch of places in that field. I'm not as high on my trendy pick of the Dragons to improve in 2024 as I was at the back end of 2023. I'd say that much. But
you were crafting that one as well.
I was.
You were proud of that one. You liked that one.
I was ready to sit on that take and watch it bloom as Shane Flanagan willed his Warriors to victory. But maybe not. Maybe not. We shall see. Tom Starling's written an opinion piece in the Sydney Morning Herald about his experiences fighting the New South Wales police. I encourage everybody to read it if they can. It's up on the website. It's pretty easy to find. There's not a whole lot of NRL news up there right now. It's from a couple of days ago. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight a couple of paragraphs in that because it's really scary stuff. And I'm sorry for him that he had to go through this. But he said, you know, it's a daunting task trying to clear your name when you go up against the New South Wales police force with endless money and resources. That's to say nothing about the physical, financial, and emotional burden you are put under. He talks about reading the accusations that he allegedly tried to grab an officer's gun and had no idea what they were talking about. He said, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, someone who wants to be liked by everyone. And then it's put out in public domain that I've pulled out a police officer's gun when all I'm doing is celebrating at the 21st birthday party of one of my best mates with my family at a venue that has kids and elderly people. Just awful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I thought one of the telling ones in there was, he said at no point did he feel like he was getting picked on because he was an NRL player. Like he didn't feel like, oh, there's Tom Starling, let's go mess him up or whatever. And he made the good point, like he had the resources to fight something like this. What about the people that don't? And he pretty much said that if he didn't have the money to fight it, then he'd probably be in jail, which is a scary thing.
Really screwed up. Thank God. And good on the Canberra Raiders for standing by him through this entire process. But yeah, terrible stuff. Terrible, terrible stuff. David Nofaluma is no longer a West Tiger. What the end of an era?
Yeah, it kind of made me sad.
100 tries for the West Tigers in the era.
Yeah, kind of made me sad, but had to happen. I think it had to happen. It very much felt like both parties needed a change, and that's probably been true for a couple of years now. But because Nofa was on so much money, because I think he signed this deal in the wake of his 2020 season when he was one of the wingers of the year. There was nobody who was going to be able to take the freight. They weren't able to work out the release properly. And he's kind of just not killing time, but this has been a move that's been a long time coming, I think. I don't know where he'll end up. He might go to, I would presume it'll be the Super League, because if some of the stories coming out from West at the minute would indicate that his attitude isn't the best. But yeah, it kind of made me sad because Nofa was an important player for that club for a really long time. You know, Campbelltown boy, made good, had a great record at Campbelltown, which I always really liked. But it had to happen. Had to happen at some point.
Yeah, totally agree. And I look forward to seeing David Nofaluma score 20 tries for the Grand Old Club in 2024.
Would you have him?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Really?
Right wing has been a cursed position for this team for a decade. Yeah.
What about Crazy Tane?
Mate, Crazy Tane turned back into a pumpkin at the end of last year. I don't forget. But pretty sure he suspended to start the year, actually.
Yeah. I tell you, like,
I like Tyron Munro as well. I'm happy to give Isaac Thompson another chance, but like honestly, that position at that club, it's been a poison chalice for a long time. If he was available on next to nothing, he's another scratch off, you know, he's another chance, you never know. You might get some late season resurgence. I don't think he was that bad when he went to the Storm, to be honest. So
he only played like the 5 games. He wasn't good in that semi again.
I thought he was not great in that game, but I thought overall he was all right.
I tell you, the interesting thing for the Tigers is I know they've had 1,000 rebuilds over the years, but they really have totally like gutted the place over the last 2 years or so. Alex Twal's the only guy on the roster now who's played 100 games for him.
Yeah.
And only two other guys have played more than 50 games for them. One of them is Adam Dewey, who, like, who knows when we'll see him back on the field with that awful knee injury. And the other is Stefano Utoikamanu, who's played 51 games for him. So, like, they really are, like, very much starting from
scratch. I can feel where this is going, and we said we weren't going to do it. So, I'm just warning you now.
I am just stating facts.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm just stating facts.
The positive cadence of your tone just there.
The cadence of my voice is always positive.
Unless the Raiders have lost.
Well, yes, except for then.
I could sense where that conversation was headed. And look, we've still got 2 months of preseason to avoid making them the team of the podcast again. So, Let's try and be strong.
Dude, let's not kid ourselves. We're probably going to do it.
We're almost certainly going to do it. We're going to try not to. We're going to try to show restraint for the first time in our lives. But yeah. All right. Now, we don't have a drop for this because these are usually hidden behind the Patreon paywall. We usually one out for free every off-season just to give people a taste of what they are missing out on. I know that every week, if you are a listener of this show and not a patron, you'll hear me do my little spiel about getting extra shows every week. That's usually the Question Time show, but once a month we do put out a Greatest Games podcast as well. It could be a finals game, could be a regular season game, it could be anything, really. We've even done an Origin one. So this week, the suggestion came from someone on Discord. I do not remember who it is. Apologies. But we are going to talk about the 2010 regular season game between the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the West Tigers.
Yeah, I love doing these sorts of shows. Like, we've done a few Boom Rewinds over the summer where we've looked at a team season in depth. We'll do more of those through the year as well, but they'll probably be behind the Patreon paywall as well. But it's just only greater value for money. So please, please, please go sign up.
Yeah.
This is a perfect game for this time of year, because probably not the most well-played game, but like very loose, very fancy-free, a lot going on, much of it not that good or not that well-executed, but entertaining nonetheless. The perfect game for a lazy summer afternoon.
Commentary team of Andy Raymond and Laurie Daly. What more could you want?
What more could you want? But all right, so let's go back to the start though, right? Yes. So this is round 22, 2010. Who were you in 2010?
I was still working at Fox. At this point in 2010, I think I was in the process of finishing my last semester at Macquarie University, my undergraduate degree. Work was going well. I just started doing rugby league stuff as well. If anyone listened to this before, I started off as an A-League statistician at Fox Sports. That was my first job. And I think going into the 2010 season, I started doing rugby league as well. So I was actually working in the stats bunker this night during this game. And shout out to a friend of the show, Dean Robb, who was my colleague back then. And during the Golden Point saga, he took over for me so I could watch the end in peace. What a good friend.
What a good guy. He finished whatever he
was doing at the time. And he said, mate, if you just want to watch the end, I'll take over. And I was like, yeah, I'm bricking it. Thank you, mate. So, yeah.
Very nice. 2010, I was in year 12. Mm-hmm. And it was a really great time. So my last couple of years at school, I really kind of grew into myself a little bit. Started to really become the person I am now. Like, wasn't like, you know, the big man on campus or anything like that, but you know, it was playing footy, had a lot of mates, a lot of stuff going on. Mm. A real coming of age summer, or coming of age winter or year for me, you know what I mean? So yep. It's great stuff. And I had a lot of mates who were playing junior reps, and a couple that were playing 20s or whatever. So I was, you know, as involved in that world as I ever could be. There was a West SG ball team where I knew, like, I reckon 10 blokes on the side who, and the blokes on the team, those guys like James Tedesco, Nofaluma was on that team, Jesse Sue, Ed Murphy, Matt Grote, Will Skelton. So it had a Kangaroos captain Wallabies captain on the same side. And they had a great run through the junior reps. They lost a prelim 27-26 to a Roosters side that had Jacob Miller, Chase Blair, Taotao Maiga, Kane Evans, and lining up in the front row, Tai Tuivasa.
Have they flown Chase Blair down for this one?
No. I've never been able to work out if that rumor was true or not.
I just think it is. We've told this on the story before, but there was a big rumor when Chase Blair was like one of the hottest prospects in the game as a teenager that the Roosters were flying him down for training from was it?
From the Gold Coast. Yeah. Or from Northern New South Wales, twice a week for training and once a week for games.
On Nick Politis's private plane. but shout out Ed Murphy as well. South legend. Good one there. But so out of the West Tigers were playing in this game. I know there's at least a couple of guys on this Tigers team that you surely would have crossed paths with at some point.
Oh yeah, like, you know, there's Chrissy Lawrence.
He was a year above me at school. So
yeah, I was in year 8 at school, and Chris Lawrence was in year 12, and he played first grade, and then he scores that incredible 70-meter try against the Broncos, and then he came back to school on Monday. It was like one of the Beatles was there. It was crazy, man. I'll tell you though, I have such vivid memories of this West team. Like it was very clearly their best team since 2005. It's probably still the second best team that they ever had. They end up finishing the season in third. They make the finals for the first time since 05. But like, I feel like this year was probably peak Benji, you know, because he sort of married up the fast stepping and the quick running of his younger years with great ball playing and better game management that he sort of found in his late years. This year is when those two Benji Marshalls meet. You know, they found Chris Lawrence, who was such an important piece of their attack with his great running down that left edge. They finally found a halfback, like Rob Louie came into the team the year before, and that was after years of Sheen's trying to replace Scott Prince and not really doing it. They had Gareth Ellis in the pack that really took him next level. And I don't know what it was, but I feel like this was just an incredibly prominent team. They were on Channel 9 all the time, you know, and they had Bo Ryan in the side, who was becoming a huge star because of Bo Knows on the Footy Show. And I looked back at the games from 2010, the West Tigers games, and I found that I remembered nearly every single one of them really, really vividly, like more vividly than I would just like a normal season or something like that. They were very much like a seminal team for this time, I would say.
And this was, of course, Lottie Takiri's first year in like almost a decade back in the NRL.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get to the heroes and villains on the side. But like this Souths team, what do you remember about them?
They were fun. This was
I've actually got that in my notes. The most fun Souths team.
Yeah, like they'd been sort of on the up. Like the Jason Taylor era had ended. This was now Chris Sando's team, coached by John Lang, and they'd, you know, it was weird because they'd have weeks where they looked dog shit, but then they'd have other weeks where everything would work, and you'd just think, how is this team not regularly playing in the finals? But yeah, here we were in 2010. It was 3 years removed from 2007, which was their first and only top eight appearance in the 21st century to date. And they'd started this season relatively well. They actually put 50 on this same Tigers team. Back in round 10.
You mentioned like the high variance that they had in them. So they beat the Tigers 50-10. They also put 40 on the bomb squad Penrith Panthers, who ended up finishing second. But then they also conceded 50 to a very ordinary Brisbane team that didn't make the finals, and on that day didn't have Darren Lockyer playing for them either. So it was a real free-for-all. They ended up scoring the second most points in the league. In this season. So they could score points, but by God, they could not stop them. It was great stuff.
And they had that crazy Manly game, 26-25 loss, where Hodkinson kicked two field goals either side of Sanders, one field goal to win it for Manly. So
yeah, they were always getting caught up in shenanigans like that. This was
a shenanigan-filled season.
As a neutral observer, a tremendously fun team, but like also a team that probably aged you a couple of years.
Mate, absolutely. But at this point in the year, they sort of oddered along, as you mentioned, had some really good wins, had some pretty disgraceful losses, and it kind of hovered around the bottom half of the eight for most of the first half of the season. But then it, after that 50-point loss to Brisbane, and then the next week is that two field goal game from Hodkinson. They win the following week, a very, very rare win against Melbourne in Perth, of all places. And then after that win against the Storm, they lose a couple of games. They lose another heartbreaker to the Roosters, and they've actually dropped out of the top eight. They've lost three of their last four as the Tigers come into town, and they're sitting ninth on the table, knowing that basically a loss here, and they're going to be spending September at home once again.
And that they're missing a lot of blokes.
Well, so this is what triggered the PTSD for me of like last year when they were missing 10 players. At one point, Andy Raymond rattles off every player that's not playing in this game.
Did you write it down? I sure did. Nice.
Yep. Luke Stewart, Beau Falloon, Sam Burgess, Dave Taylor, Ben Lowe, Michael Crocker, Scott Geddes, Colin Best, Bo Champion, and Ben Ross. All didn't play.
Aside
from Falloon, all of those guys are in their best 17 at this point.
Probably, yeah. But like, To follow on from that, why don't you read out this Souths team for us?
Yeah, it, despite all of that, it's not a bad team. You got Reece Wesser at fullback, Nathan Merritt and Fatuli Talanoa on the wings, Dylan Farrell on debut, and Jamie Simpson, a very underrated player, Jamie Simpson, in the centers. Chrissy and John Sutton in the halves, which to this day is still possibly the most fun halves combination that anyone has ever seen. Jamin Lowe and Royce Atasi, the presiding props, Isaac Luke at hooker, Dave Tyrrell playing on an edge. Eddie Pettibourne, on the other edge, Jason Clark at lock, and then an all-star bench of Garrett Crossman, Craig Stapleton, Shannon McPherson, and Sean Corrigan.
What a bench.
Who would play an important role later on.
He would. But, like, Souths have been so ripped up with injuries. They signed Jamin Lowe mid-season from the Queensland Cup. They signed Craig Stapleton mid-season from...
Well, his second stint at the club.
Yeah, they signed Craig Stapleton mid-season from reserve grade somewhere. Shannon McPherson had barely played first grade anymore. Garrett Crossman was a little bit the same. Like, they were very much on the bones of their ass in this one.
Hmm. And do you know what was written that week in the Daily Telegraph? A story about how since 1994, John Lang, who was the Rabbitohs coach for this game, had not lost to Tim Sheens, who was
17 straight, was it?
Yes. So yeah. It was 18 games total, 17-1. And the one was in 1994 when Sheens won the comp with your beloved Canberra Raiders.
Two great old footy coaches here. I always forget about Lang's stint with South Sydney. I think they had probably passed him by a little bit, but he just sent those boys out there to have a good time.
Too successful to be a good rugby league man, but good rugby league man adjacent.
Absolutely. And in the end, isn't that what we're all looking for?
And in this game, he's looking very dapper on the sidelines in his big winter coat.
He was looking well, yeah. Wasn't he? Yeah. And then the Tigers team, they've got Bo Ryan at fullback, Lottie Takiri and Sam Latu on the wings, Blake Ashford and Chris Lawrence in the centers, Benji Master and Robert Louis in the halves, a front row of Bryce Gibbs, Robbie Farah and Keith Galloway, a back row of Liam Fulton, Gareth Ellis, Chris Hyington. What a back row, honestly.
Mm.
And then a bench, a very young Andrew Fifita, a very young Simon Dwyer, Mark Flanagan and Mitch Brown.
Hmm. I do feel like at any point in like a 3-year stretch, that exact forward pack was the Tigers forward pack.
Oh, like, yeah, this is
it was like, these guys every week. Like,
yeah, this is the greatest hits, like very, yeah. Very much so. I'll tell you,
Bo Ryan, of course, playing fullback because Wade McKinnon is out with an injury.
Okay, I will give you $100 if you can successfully name all six players that played fullback for the Tigers in 2010.
Okay, so Bo Ryan is one of them.
Correct.
Wade McKinnon is another one.
Correct. I'm trusting that you're not looking this up as we're doing it.
I would
it.
Never do that to you. Daniel Fitzhenry was gone at this point, right?
Is that an answer or?
Yes.
Daniel Fitzhenry is one of them.
Okay. Tim Holton.
Halfway. Yep. Two more.
Oh my God. Am I going to win $100? Oh my God. Two more. I'm going to guess that Sheen's got weird with it and put Benji at fullback for a game.
No.
Fuck! All right, who are the other two?
Mitch Brown, who's in this game.
Yeah, okay.
And then my ace in the hole was Sean Meaney.
Okay, I was never got Sean Meaney.
You never would have got. But like, so I always think a lot about how West never really replaced Scott Prince once he left until they sort of found Robert Lilley a little bit. And then even then he was only at the club for a year or two before he ended up leaving in pretty terrible circumstances. But their failure to sort of find a fullback in between Brett Hodgson and retiring and James Tedesco starting, I think, is actually quite
that's
underrated.
A long time, too.
Yeah, it's a really long time. It's close to a decade. Like, Mitch Brown ends up being the fullback for them in the final. So they're going into a preliminary final with Mitch Brown.
Mitch Brown started in
a
grand final.
He did,
a couple of years after that.
But yeah, that sort of halfback fullback stuff tells you a lot about this West Tigers team. Just absolutely absurdly constructed differently, I would say, to any other successful team, maybe in rugby league history. You know, Robbie Farah does nearly all the kicking at hooker. They don't really have a halfback. They pretty much have 2 5-8s in Marshall and Louis. You know, like, there's not really a fullback either. It's just everything sort of runs off those three playmakers, and none of the forwards are that big, but they're all pretty mobile and they can all offload and pass. And maybe they could have been like the ultimate Vlando ball team.
Yeah, maybe.
But as it stands at this time, they could win a game by 40 or lose a game by 40.
I mean,
40.
A team like this, both as it was constructed, yeah, a team like this under those Philandy ball rules would have put 80 on a team at some point.
Oh, 100%. But then they could have had 80 put on them as well.
That's also true.
Which would have been great.
I mean, it's as close as like a total football, to invoke a phrase from another sport, as you can get, really. And that's what the Tigers tried to do in this whole period. It was very fluid and it was very different to what everybody else was doing. And we've said it a million times, but it's a testament to like how much it meant to the club that they always talk about 05 and then this team as well as being like the highlights of being a West Tigers fan. And with good reason. They were super entertaining to watch. So, and then we're pretty close to winning it this year. I mean, that prelim could be a greatest game in itself.
No, so, I don't think they could have beaten Saints. I think Saints win that game. Very nearly did. Yeah, I know, but I feel like Saints.
They lost by a field goal. I don't think you can say if you lose a game by one that they couldn't have won.
I think Saints style always gave them a tremendous, tremendous advantage that West could never run down. Anyway, when they're running out for this one, we crossed to Scotty Sattler on the sidelines. Love Sats, one of the great rugby league yarners of our times. But he mentions that the key for the Rabbitohs is halves Chris Sando and Jonathan Sutton.
Jonathan.
Calls him Jonathan Sutton. Didn't like it.
I don't care for that at all.
Was not about it, bro.
Yeah. Don't.
It's like when Thurston first came into the league and Rabs tried to call him Johnny Thurston for a while.
Don't like that.
Was not about that either.
Nope. It's John Sutton and it's Jonathan Thurston.
Out of respect.
That's how we like it. And sometimes John E. Sutton, but not often. A little bit. Every now and again.
Only on special occasions. You can occasionally call him Johnny as a treat.
The game kicks off. And what a start.
Not the greatest game last week. Here we go as Super Saturday continues live and South Sydney couldn't have scripted a worse start out on the full.
Yep, out in the full. Great start, boys.
Love
just
it.
What we
Absolutely
needed.
Absolutely love it.
Set the tone.
And then Blake Aishford ends up cruising in untouched after 90 seconds. Like, this is great stuff.
Gibbs comes off the left foot and runs into a three-man tackle headed by the 17 in Jason Clark. Good to see him get a run-on start tonight as the Tigers go wide. And the Tigers go in. Blake Aishford scores after 90 seconds. It is Tigers 4, Rabbits 0.
At this point, you're like, we're gonna lose by 50 here. this is what, like, half our team's not playing. Chrissy's just kicked the opening kickoff out in the full, and Blake Aishford strolled over with no one near him. And they killed South on the edges all night in this game. There was some absolutely disgraceful defending for pretty much every West Tigers try.
Yeah, and we've got Dave Tyrrell, a front rower, on one edge. It was funny to see Dave Tyrrell just capable of running a little bit, because my memories of him being sort of just like a calcified front rower who couldn't really bend his arms or his legs are so strong. But he was out there, and Eddie Pettibourne's on the other edge. And
another prop.
Around this time, I rated Eddie Pettibourne higher than I should have, because when he ran the ball and he was throwing his knees and elbows around, it looked like he was really good. But then you go back and you watch these games, you're like, oh man, like, geez, he was taking it very easy out there, Eddie. When he ran the ball, he was going for it. But other than that, not a lot doing.
Yeah, not interested in edge defense, Eddie, it's fair to say. But it's their fault for putting him there. It's not where he belonged.
Yeah. See, and you know, it's good that this try to Aishford happened, because it is something of a tone setter. You know, this is a game of strange tries, weird errors, and then, as we'll find out in the next couple of minutes, some like breathtaking foul play. So after the Aishford try, the two teams trade sets. There's a couple of errors and whatever. And then there's a real flashpoint, because Jamin Lowe hits Benji Marshall with like maybe the latest shot I've ever seen in the modern era. It's incredible.
Comically late.
So they're trying to run one of their little things around the middle of the ruck. Benji throws it back inside to someone, has enough time to like shape to the line, throw the pass, settle down. He's almost walking by the point, and Lowe just wipes him out. Like, when I watched it last night, I burst out laughing at how late it was.
It was so
like,
funny.
This is the sort of shit that Adam Blair used to dream about. Great stuff.
Yeah. Shout out, Jamin. As everyone's heard by now, served him in a McDonald's drive-thru after he played a game for South once. Legend. The legend of the game.
Well, he had this sort of stuff in him, Jamin. Did not mind.
Hit Brett Delaney that time, but you know, Brett Delaney grabbed him by the wheels. What do you want?
Well, that's the thing. I did some investigation into that, and there were accusations that Delaney got in by the wheels. And if you do that, then it's anything goes. So
yeah, I agree. Let the boys play at that point.
Free Jamin.
The best part is South are running in to score a try as Jamin Lowe just knocked a man out. And I was like, oh, why are they pulling this up? And then there's a replay. You're like, oh, right. Yeah. Then Keith Galloway goes off with a head knock. And your man Andrew Leeds, the trainer, that was a nice little flashback. But yeah, Keith Galloway goes off.
Saw jumper last week, one of the great men.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, there's no way Keith Galloway comes back on the field in today's game.
Well, this is cutting ahead a little bit.
A little bit,
he does come back on, plays, like, scores a try, has a pretty good game. And they say in commentary that the Tigers mentioned that the Tigers said you shouldn't go back on Keith. And Keith said, no, I'm doing it. That was just like 2010 doesn't feel like that long ago, but
it was for head stuff.
Every time I watch one of these games, it always stands out to me how quickly and how drastically our attitudes have changed.
And not to mention that, like, all Scott Sattler adds that Keith himself apparently said he couldn't remember the start of the game, but they let him go back out there. It's like, that hasn't aged great.
Not
but,
the best.
In between Galloway going off and coming back on, though, it's a try on debut for Dylan Farrell.
Losing his footing was Jason Clark. The outside to the debutant, and it is a night that Dylan Farrell will remember for the rest of his life.
This is nice too. It's a nice
little show. Nice little show and go,
bro. A classical piece of centre play. I would say
really good. You
know? There's nothing. No, he stands to the outside, up. Stands up. Through. Rob Louis slams it down. There's a shout out to the Culburra Dolphins, one of the great clubs. You got to love it, you know. But I got to tell you, man. Like, even though I knew how this game ended and I knew what was in store at the end, through this first half, I was thinking, is this actually a greatest games or is this just a greatest finish? Because there's a lot of penalties, a lot of errors.
Defending was optional.
The Tigers scored two tries after that. Farrah goes over from dummy half and Lottie goes over from dummy half, and they are just so incredibly soft. And the errors are bad and the penalties are dumb. And I'm not one of those people who like needs to have a perfect completion rate from both sides to enjoy a game of footy. Like, I like getting down in the slop as much as anybody, but there's a point where it stops being fun and it just becomes arduous.
Yes.
And the first half of this one was a bit of a slop.
Good one-on-one tackle there. It's Nathan Merritt as Lottie Takiri goes to the line and Lottie Takiri scores. Well, it's the second time tonight the goal line defence from the South Sydney team hasn't been alert. Robbie Farrah out of dummy half scoring, and now Lottie Takiri. You just can't afford to give up tries like this when you're defending your goal line.
I mean, those two tries are absolutely embarrassing defensively. Like, really poor stuff. But Takiri one especially, because you've already conceded a dummy half try in the game. To just have, I think it was fourth tackle after a penalty, to just... It's very clear he's going to go himself, the way he sort of bounds over to the ball at dummy half after a quick play of the ball. It's very clear he's going to go to the right himself and try to dive over. And he just does it anyway. Eddie Pettibone's a bit slow. Nathan Merritt's a bit slow reacting. And yeah, just cuts through them. And it's really poor.
Not Lottie's most memorable try, but I fucking loved the Lottie comeback. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was so, so cool. Like, I always loved that those three guys, Takiri, Saylor, and Rogers, who all went from league to union in the early 2000s. I loved that they all came back in the end. And I love how much their careers changed, how different they were when they came back. Like, Matt Rogers was a lot slower, but he's a lot smarter. Wendell had obviously slowed down, but still had so much personality about him. But Lottie is pretty remarkable in that he was away the longest of the three of them. He spent 7 years in rugby union. You know, it's a long time. Then he came back and it's like he'd been here the entire time. Scores, I think, on his first touch in his first game back. Ends up playing for Australia at the end of this season. Scores nearly like 20 odd tries. Looks like he's been there forever. You know, the other two guys, they got older, they changed. And a lot of the guys who have gone to rugby and then come back haven't been able to bring their best footy back with them. But Lottie sure as hell did, man. Grew out the dreads as well. Like, him going down the sideline, dreads flying in the air. That's a seminal moment.
And he never really recaptures that magic with the Tigers again after that season. Like, 2011, he barely plays, and he obviously a bit of a nightmare game in that loss to the Warriors in the finals. And then, but across 2012 and 13, he barely plays.
He's injured
15
a lot.
Games across the two seasons. And then you kind of treated him going to South as like, oh, you're like a sort of like shrug your shoulders, like, yeah, whatever. But then he turns in some of the best rugby league of his life in the final sort of 10 weeks of his career. He has a fantastic end to his career and bookends his career with grand final wins in 2000 and 2014. Lovely stuff.
Holds the record for longest time between premierships.
Yes. Line break
Lottie. We salute.
I believe he had grand finals as well until Benji, right? Spengy broke the record for grand final gap, but
yes.
Didn't win it, obviously, in 2010.
Correct, yes.
But, but 2010 Lottie was sort of back in business.
He was fabulous.
And he had a fantastic season.
It's funny, man. I was thinking, like, man, it's funny that he didn't play for Queensland at some point in the comeback. That's a funny one. And then I looked up the Queensland backline and I was like, oh yeah, it's Slater, Darius Boyd, Willy Tonga, Israel Folau, and Greg Inglis. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's why.
That's pretty good.
That's why, Nick, you idiot.
Yeah, no, but yeah, what a player. And I really like, if you met someone that said, I hate Lottie Takiri, I would treat them with suspicion.
I wouldn't care to know them.
No.
I saw Lottie at the airport when I was flying up for Magic Round 1 year, and it's just the perfect tone set. I was like, well, you know what? It's going to be a good couple of days. This trip is Takiri approved.
Lottie's watching over us.
Looking after all of us.
He is. What a player. What a great player. So, yeah, it's 16-6 at halftime. South in the hole, double-digit deficit.
Mate, fuck Souths. I was in the hole after watching this first half. I was like, Bungard has saddled us with a greatest game that is actually
done. This was not my suggestion.
Oh, yeah, but like it kind of was, you know?
You
co-signed it.
As a man of the people, I just do what the listeners want, and the listeners wanted this game. But anyway.
So I wasn't sure how to feel, but then first set of the second half, Souths are rolling up the field. John Sutton puts in a really nice kick down to the corner. Looks like it could be a 40-20.
Sutton off the left boot, inside the 40, looking for the sideline. Bo Ryan spits it back in field, and Fatuli Talanoa says, thank you.
Oh, Bo.
He had a tough one in this one, big Bo.
In my notes, I just wrote Bo Ryan, and then I wrote ha 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 like 12 times.
Why do you hate Bo Ryan? He's all right.
I don't. This is an extremely funny try.
It is very funny.
One of the funniest of all time. And it's even better by sort of known rugby league clown Fatuli Talanoa being the recipient of this and then like striking a pose for the camera as he grinds.
I love
one of the
dude.
Coldest put downs I've ever
seen.
So good,
man. Like that's Phil Samink type stuff. You know what I mean? Like has the put down, the big slide, the big grin. He's wearing a mouth guard that kind of looks like he's got a grill on his teeth. It was great stuff.
I know that he had some really bad games for Souths over the years, but I still kind of loved Fatuli Talanoa.
You got to, man. You got to love your guys. Bo,
you got to take the good with the bad.
Do people today understand what a big star Bo Ryan was?
No, I don't think so.
It was so Bo knows started in 2009 and then even in 2010, it's like, I don't think he'd quite been overexposed yet. And he was still very funny. I think that's part of the reason this Tigers team is so prominent in my memory, because Bo's on the footy show all the time and Benji invariably is in the segments with him or whatever. So maybe that's part of it. But Bo was a big deal.
He sure was. Not known for his fullback play, though, as evidenced here.
Not quite, not quite. But, you know, Bo will have many, many more mistakes to come.
Yeah.
That we can get to later.
So you think Souths are back in this game, Nick? Well, think again.
And brushes off 2-3, beats Wesser a 4th, still going Chris Hyington, and on his knees is secured 5 metres from the try line. Farrah back to Lawrence, it's opened up, and Chris Lawrence will better the position, and he scores the Tigers 4.
Garrett Crossman's not a man I think about a lot, but
you got to spend more time on the grid, brother.
Good set after points is what we need, fellas. No, a tackle to offload to Robert Louis, who does not play for Souths.
It's so out of character for Garrett Crossman. Like 77 NRL games for 3 different clubs, 0 tries. Not a fancy, expansive player by any means. And yet he's out here.
Offloads on.
Popping passes off kickoffs, you know? Like I appreciate the vision. I appreciate the ambition, but maybe don't do it. And then Lawrence cruises in for a very, very easy try off Robbie Farrah. Again, like the Tigers could score on just about anyone in the league. You don't have to give it to them. You don't have to make it this easy.
No, you really don't. But it's so frustrating. You get an absolute gift at the other end of the field and you give one straight back. And that sort of try you get just after the break to cut the lead is wiped away within a minute. It's almost shades of the first half where Souths made the mistake immediately and the Tigers scored. And again here, it feels like it's worse than it is because, yeah, you go back from it being a one-try game to now a two-try game once again. and it's not going well. And this is the point where Laurie Daly remarks on the commentary, talks about, oh, back in round 10, South put 50 on them, and I think the Tigers are on their way to doing that here, which I thought was interesting, because it did kind of feel that way at that point. Like South's, the other reason South were even remotely in this game was because Bo Ryan's just threw the ball to Fatuli Talanoa. So it does feel very much like one-way traffic at this point.
Yeah, very much. I got to tell you, man, I know it wasn't his most classic try, but Chris Lawrence, one of my favorite non-Raiders ever. Like even if I didn't have, like, you know, the school connection or whatever, like,
yeah,
Benji drifting across field to the left and Lawrence hitting that, those hard straight lines and just exploding into space. Unbelievable. And before he did his hit in 2011, he was crazy fast.
If you're
I saw him run down Billy Slater once with my own eyes. It was out at Campbelltown one night. I think it was like 2008. And Billy got in the clear and Lawrence gave him like a 10-yard head start and just poof, got him. Like it was nothing. It was crazy. He was awesome.
It's like if you're like a newer fan, you only really saw him like playing back row in the sort of last 5 or 6 years of his career, and you don't really realize just how athletic this guy was. Like he was sick. And you know, he comes into that team just after they win the premiership and really has about as good of a career as like a local boy from the area could have hoped for. Like went to St. Greg's, huge raps on him. Lives up to the hype by having, what, a 14, 15 year career in the NRL. A really important player. I think if the Tigers were doing their team of the century or whatever, he'd be in it. Whether it's in the centers or on the bench, he'd be in that team somewhere, I think. A really good career and a great player.
Absolutely. And he had that shocking hip injury in 2011. Yeah. Like, dislocated his hip, which is a really rare injury and really robs you of a lot of your pace. And he was never quite the same runner after that, but he reinvented himself as a really hard nut back rower and ended up having a long storied career for the Tigers. But fuck, man, when you see what he was like when he was young, when he could still really, really move. Oh, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, when you listen to this, dial it up on YouTube, dial up the best of Chrissy Lawrence. Just watch that boy fly. As good as it gets, man.
Yeah, I mean, again, he was so good in this season in 2010. He plays for Australia. So never got an Origin appearance, but played for City and donned the blue and mustard and then played for Australia.
That hit never happens. He plays for the Blues for sure.
Especially when you consider the absolute carousel of battlers they were rolling out in the outside backs in those years as well.
I'm surprised he didn't get a run in this year. Like he plays 25 games this year. He's around a lot.
Who were the Origin centers in 2010?
Oh, geez, you're putting me on the spot.
I'll look up quickly if you want to keep talking about Chris Lawrence.
Oh, mate, I'm kind of done. I love Chris Lawrence. absolutely loved him as a footballer. Like, as good as it gets. Player.
But, I think you're right. And a classic example of a guy that was just a freak athlete and maybe people don't realize just how good he was. And, again, if that injury never happens, probably looking at, you know, a really, really important player for the Blues for a couple of years there too.
Goes across field looking for Benji Marshall. Keith Galloway puts it on his legs as Big Red scored here.
And then after Lawrence scores, the procession really does begin as big Keith Galloway, who again in today's NRL would not be on the field, scores a try in relatively interesting fashion.
Farrah ducks down a really narrow blindside about 20 metres out, angles like really just fucks the ball all the way back across to the middle of the field looking for Benji Marshall. Marshall taps it back and who's there to pick a toe through the scraps and put it down but big Keefe, the big red machine himself, like a real like cousin Jethro Lenny of Mice and Men type try, just like a bumbling, stumbling type thing. Terrific stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got it mixed up. This was when Laurie Daly said it could be 50. So not on the earlier Chris Lawrence try. But
a Keith Galloway try is the harbinger of a big win. You know what I'm saying? Like Keith isn't scoring in close games. If Keith's getting over, the boys just get so amped up at seeing the big unit get in that, you know, it just takes him to a higher place. Is Keith Galloway Phil Gould's favorite player of all time?
He'd be up there. Who else did Phil Gould really love?
He never really loved anyone because his true love was always Keith Galloway.
That's
But again, man, like I feel like West were on Channel 9 every week, and every week,
and you could hear Gus go, "Oh, big Keithy,
big Keithy." Yeah, you gotta love you gotta love that sort of stuff.
You do. You definitely do. Yeah, good player, Keith Galloway, really good player. And yeah, now it's what 28-10, and you think the game's over.
Well, we've had three tries in 8 minutes,
mm.
So an action packed start to the second stanza.
But Dylan Farrell says no, not yet,
not today.
Playing back to Sando, pops it through, and that is just beautiful. Just beautiful from the debutant Dylan Farrell, who collects a double here tonight.
Another very cool put down here. Slick try. Man, the one-handed grab off the grubber and strolls over.
Really, really smooth. Really, like a really smooth. At the time, Dylan Farrell was like, looked like one of those really smooth athletic runners that you sometimes come across.
Mm.
You know, great hands to pick up the Sando kick. Poor old Lottie and Bo at the back just having a tough time fielding some of those short kicks from King Chrissy. And yeah, Farrell's in for number two. At that point, we've had four tries in 12 minutes.
So yeah, defense
is really getting optional at this point.
Like absolutely.
The tackling has been left at home.
And the Tigers think they need more points. They think that this is far from done. They think that the way the game is ebbing and flowing, that they need to get a couple more tries to put this thing on. And Benji Marshall, I mean, if this had come off, it would have been one of the best moments of his career. And we say that with the utmost reverence towards Benji Marshall and the many insane things he did on a rugby league field. But this is gorgeous stuff. The chip and chase and then the no-look flick pass. And it's just shy of Mitch Brown's hands. Just a little bit off target.
Benji doesn't have a great game in this one, but he's just trying everything all the time. Like he's putting grubbers in on the first tackle. He's throwing behind the back flick passes in his own 20. Like, I think an underrated part of Benji's appeal is like the utter fearlessness that he played with. He was never afraid of trying stuff. He was never afraid of, you know, going for something audacious, going for the big play and all that. And when it works, it's amazing. And when it doesn't, it's still pretty good to watch. But like, it probably also was kind of one of the fatal flaws in this Tigers team. Like, is it possible to win a premiership when a guy like that is your lead playmaker?
Well, I think Andy Raymond says at this point when he throws a flick pass, surely they could have just taken the tackle there. And he's probably right. But, you know, we weren't Tigers fans. That's what made Benji Marshall the best. That's what made Benji Marshall the coolest.
I expected more from Andy Raymond, the patron saint of the 9:30 delayed game on Super Saturday. Mm. Like, if you want finely tuned fundamental footy, then brother, play on Friday nights. That's not,
you can put,
not
you
what
can
I,
put on Channel 9.
Yeah, that's
after
that's,
Burke's backyard is finished and watch the delayed game.
That's
what you can do.
That's not what I want. 9:30 no. on a 9:30 on a Saturday night. I want the kind of footy that is a crime according to the laws of gods and men.
Mm.
I want the weirdest shit you have, mate. Like I do not want the regular stuff.
Yeah, so instead, Souths get the ball back and they get down the other field. And you mentioned the hard night that Bo Ryan and Lottie had. And yeah, Lottie spills a really easy kick here and gives Souths another crack at their line as the pressure begins to mount. And Reece Wesser gets a saloon passage.
Send out to Wesser, and Reece Wesser. He goes straight through in game 199. And here come the Bunnies.
There's so much bad defense in this game. I had to be really selective of which try to give the saloon passage to, but I think of all the passages that we had guys walk through in this game, this was the most saloon.
It's right up there. I mean, okay, I've got a take.
It was this or the Lawrence one.
I've got a take for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is Reece Wesser the most underrated player of the NRL era?
Talk to me about it, because he did play for Queensland, top try scorer many times, and won a premiership.
I know he achieved a lot.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
But I think now, today, no one talks about Reece Wesser. Like, part of that, he played a bit of rep footy, but not much. He only played four or five games for Queensland, never played for Australia or anything like that.
Never played for Australia.
No, his career it was a slow start. It wasn't until like his fourth or fifth year in the first that he became a regular starter, and it had a longer tail. Like these couple of years at Souths, he's still serviceable, but he's not an absolute gun anymore.
Yeah, so I guess like it was kind of an unfortunate thing for him where he was an amazing fullback, but he was stuck behind a guy named Darren Lockyer for parts of his career, and then a guy named Billy Slater towards the end of his career.
Exactly. Like he was always stuck behind fullbacks who were slightly more sophisticated. You know what I mean? Like he never really developed a much of a passing game or anything like that. And he was kind of at the very start of an era where your fullback had to be able to pass. But for the years before that, where a fullback could just be super quick, be a great support player and push up all around the middle of the field, and you didn't have to worry about having a passing fullback, telling you, a few better than Reece Wesser. Penrith's all-time leading try scorer still now to this day, 113 tries in 177 games. There's a run from 2001 to 2006 where he scores at least 13 tries every year. Like, I know he won the comp, but the year before he scored 19 tries in 22 games. Like, absolute, like, master blaster shit, bro. Like, and you never have Reece Wesser conversations anymore.
You never do. You never do.
And we're poorer for that as a country, you know? I want to live in a world where I can bring up Reece Wesser and you know, people cheer me, acclaim me as a hero. They say, you know what, Campo? He was underrated. He was better than people remember.
Well, I mean, 04 was, like, he splits the middle there with Lockyer moving to 5'8" and Billy Slater yet to become Billy Slater. It's really the only chance he gets in Origin.
But
it's a great shame, but
a fabulous player, man. And even though he was very much on the back nine when he did go to South, I always loved seeing him do well. And he still had a little bit of gas in the tank. He could still hit a hole.
This game is literally called the Reece Wesser game. So, well, or the Dylan Farrell game, one or the other. But the iconic commentary at the end is Andy Raymond screaming Reece Wesser's name, which we will, of course, get to. But I did love South signing David Peachy and Reece Wesser back-to-back to play fullback. It was fantastic. Just nothing that can't be sold by getting a veteran in there.
who gets around the field well.
God. Has anyone ever got around the field better than David Peachy?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
God, he got around the park well.
Well, young GI got around the park well as well.
He did.
I remember when young GI first came into first grade, the comp that everyone had was David Peachy.
Yeah, right.
You know? Just too. We don't get enough good, of that these days. Movers, too good.
We don't get enough. We don't get enough comps of like really good players. Like it's well, either gotten, they get comped gotten, to like the greatest ever, or that, and that's it. Like everyone's either the next Shane Lockie, the next Andrew Johns, the next Sonny Bill, whoever. It's never the next Reece Wesser. It's never the next Trent Barrett. It's never the next thing, dude.
I remember when Josh Dugan came into the first. They said, "Yeah, he's like Brett Mullins," and I was like, "That's actually not a. That's a good comparison. I like that.
That's all right. Mullins, great player, but like not an immortal. So
all right, well, you know what? Let's make that a news.
We should try to bring that
us.
Back.
Let's try and bring back more artful comparisons.
Yeah, he's the next Michael Buettner.
Like, can you imagine? I don't know if the world could handle another Michael Buettner.
We've got to try and anoint someone the next Willie Tonga.
Okay. We'll get in the lab and sort something out.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of comps of guys who are very good, but not quite the greatest to ever play. Because I do think that that's more. I feel like when that happens, it means people have actually kind of watched the guy play a little bit and had to put some thought into it. Not just this guy's good and he plays fullback and he's from Queensland, so he's the next Darren Lockyer.
Very much so. Like if you have like a more esoteric one, then I'm 100% with you. Like if you roll out the next Sonny Bill, my eyes are going to glaze over. But
how many next Sonny Bills have there been, man?
Way too many, man. But if you say this could be the next Tohu Harris, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Now we're back. So at this point of this very stupid game, it's 30-24 to West, and there's 15 minutes to go. Souths have just scored. It's good stuff. Here they come, the grand old club.
Yep. Chris Sandow loses the ball, thinks he's won a penalty, and petulantly kicks the ball away, giving West's...
You've missed the key sequence, the one that explains this entire match.
Oh, sorry. Benji finds touch from the kickoff.
Benji finds touch off the kickoff.
On tackle
then,
one, they go wide.
Yep, they spread it out off the scrum, and Bo Ryan gets bundled into touch.
Good stuff. I did that once in a game I went to, and I was furious. I was like,
oh, my God,
idiots.
It makes me want to die.
Todd Polglaze got thrown into touch. I remember it clear as day thinking, it's tackle one, you fucking dopes. What are you doing?
And then on South's next set, Sando loses the ball. He thinks it's stripped. The ref says it's an error. He kicks the ball away, and we see the very, very rare kick the ball away penalty.
Bring him back. We need more of that. Just bring guys being petulant after a bad call goes against them.
You've been penalized for bad manners.
Oh, please. Not Chrissy, though. He's a nice boy. He would never do anything petulant on the field.
Free him.
Oh, I agree. But yeah, so we think it's game over because there's a really well-weighted grubber goes through. Mitch Brown dives on it. They send it upstairs, though, and he's not. He's bounced it.
He's not. Yeah, he's not grounded at all. And
Thought they were going to do the dreaded torso try for this one, but nah, he just bounced it.
West had a couple of opportunities to close this out. The Brown no try is one of them. Benji also misses a couple of field goals. He misses one really easy one from about 20 out.
Yeah,
where he absolutely kicks the shit out of it. Like he could have just dinked it over, but instead he really winds it up. And it's like, it's such a weird thing to remember, but I always feel like if Benji had the opportunity to kick a field goal, he never just like dinked it over like Sam Walker did. He was always like, I'm going to put as much fucking power into this thing as I can, as my hamstrings can possibly handle. He's like a wrestler who fights MMA and falls in love with his hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Benji came into first grade. He couldn't kick at all. Like had no power whatsoever. Got a bit of power. And he was like, well, why would I ever not kick the shit out of the ball?
Hmm.
Great stuff.
Yeah, Reese Wester breaks through. It's a forward pass, calls back. That's just before that Benji field goal miss that you mentioned. And then Souths are trying to get back into it. John Sutton is not the most cultured 5'8 of all time, I think it's fair to say. But he could kick the shit out of that ball when he wanted to put a bomb up. I remember one night we were playing the Tigers. It wasn't this game. An older Matt Utai, God rest his soul, was playing on the wing for the Tigers. And John Sutton put up the biggest torpedo bomb I have ever seen in my life. And Matt Utai is standing under it, hands out, quivering. And not a soul in that stadium thought he was going to catch it. And Matt Utai delivered and spilled it. As we all expected, but
I have no doubt that kick went as high as you said. But for all of Matt Utai's achievements, the high ball was never his.
Not one of them.
You know what I mean? I feel like you don't have to. You don't have to be Matt Burton to get an error out of Matt Utai under the high ball. You know what's saying?
They don't make him like Matt Utai anymore.
They don't.
Then they should, because Matt Utai fucking ruled.
I don't know if I said to you, bro, there's this winger down at the Raiders. I think he's the next Matt Utai.
Justin Carney could have been the next Matt Utai.
He could have been. Could have been.
Sorry. So Sutton puts up one of these trademark gigantic bombs and Bo Ryan has no chance.
He has no idea where it is and he slips over. Souths end up getting a dropout and Andy
Raymond. They nearly get out of this, the Tigers, by the way. They throw about five passes in the in goal. One of them goes forward, though, I think is ruled.
Again, this is a game that like made me burst out laughing several times, but I don't think I started laughing harder than when Andy Raymond says, Bo knows. Well, not tonight, he doesn't.
Yeah, that was. I remember hearing that at the time.
Absolutely shocking gear, but that's why it was great. That's why I loved Andy Raymond.
Yeah. So Souths get the repeat set and Sutton himself scores.
Is it now or never for South Sydney? Asatasi. Off. Back to Sutton. Sutton! Sutton! He scores!
Right, we're on three again. It's a simple case of the grounding down here. John Sutton.
I think it's a try.
So do I.
I think it's a try. And South Sydney have all the energy.
I mean, yeah, this was trademark Johnny Sutton. This is what he does. This is what he does on that left edge.
A good offload from Shannon McPherson, of all people, to help set it up, you know? And yeah, I gotta tell you, I think I'd forgotten how good Sutton was as a 5'8". He played there way, way too long. He should have been moved to the forwards. Well before he ever was. It probably stunted his career a little bit in some ways, but just a tremendously classy player and so gifted, so good off that left foot. It was interesting to see skinny young John Sutton running around and doing stuff again, you know?
And it's not like from the sideline, but it's not an easy kick for Chrissy. But he knocks it over and we are tied.
It's there, and we're level.
Really interesting at this point. Mark Flanagan gives away a really silly penalty for not being square at marker. He comes back from behind it with a second effort tackle. Souths work the ball down the field, and I actually defend this. They go, second tackle, why is he taking the shot at field goal? But it's a really good offload from Asatasi, and then John Sutton sees the Chris Sandow's in the pocket.
Yeah, it's in broken play. It's not like a classic.
And there's no pressure on Chrissy at all.
Whatever.
That's I think to me is the most important thing with field goal save is if you can get a shot, where you don't have anyone running at you, you have to take it. I don't care what tackle it is.
Dude, 30 out right in front for Chris Sando is like shell and peas. You know, it was the year after this when he bangs over one from halfway.
I was at that game in Golden Point against the Roosters, yeah.
And this is also the year, is a few weeks before this, where Benji Marshall hits one from halfway. It's not in Golden Point. It's at halftime. It's just before halftime.
At Campbelltown.
So we've got two of the absolute supers, and Marshall has a field goal shot at one point, almost from halfway.
Off one step.
Off one step that very nearly goes over. That's
goes
that
under
power.
The crossbar.
That's that kicking power.
Ridiculous
I told you about.
Power.
Like, I don't
Ridiculous.
Know how he, I don't know how he managed to do it or where he learned it or whatever, but all of a sudden he could just kick those things into orbit.
Yeah, so Farrah definitely catches South's offside in the last set of regular time. They are like a great dummy half run. Ref doesn't call it. Full-time siren goes. Farrah gives Jad Maxwell, right?
Yeah.
Gives him an absolute spray, and rightly so. Like, he caught the South markers offside. It should have been a penalty. They take the two, they win the game. But that
Jared
doesn't
Maxwell,
happen.
Jared Maxwell refereed this game like it was 1975.
Yep, let him play.
He really did. Like, he was not putting up with any of that stuff around the ruck. There's a bit in the second half where Nathan Merritt, like, his shoulder gets Chris Lawrence directly in the face. Lawrence is as knocked out as a person can be. West get the penalty, but like if it happened today, Merritt would be sent off, no question.
I say
this
right.
One, he doesn't even get put on report.
Yeah.
Maxwell calls the captains over because there's a bit of a set too afterwards, like Isaac Luke tries to fight someone and all that. Maxwell just calls the captains over and he said, "All right, you both got your lumps in. Now let's play some footy.
Let's play some footy."
What year is this?
What a gentleman, classy way to handle that. I'm glad you mentioned that because Nathan Merritt is my favorite rugby league player of all time.
Really?
He should absolutely have been sent off. It is heinous. People go back and watch the shout out to, I think it's Rabbitohs Rewind, it was the YouTube channel that put the full game up. It's just after South's score, the Dylan Farrell try to make it 28-16 or something. But yeah, the hit's as bad as it gets. And I can't decide what's funnier. The commentary going, "Oh, some of the South players think Chris Lawrence is staying down to milk a penalty," as Chris Lawrence is, as you said, the most knocked out a human being has ever been.
He's doing the ones where, like, he's so knocked out that he's holding his arms up, but they're kind of just like flapping in the breeze a little bit.
And then,
like,
even funnier than that, finally, after play resumes, they cut to Scott Sattler and he goes, "Boys, I might be in the majority, but I thought it was a great tackle. Thought it was a clean hit. Play on.
Bring Sats back. If Fox League have the minerals, they'll bring back Sats."
Nothing's ever. I love those old heads where nothing is ever a penalty.
Nah.
No. Like, it's so funny. Like, that is a clear send-off to me.
It's just a good tackle.
He jumped. Like, if people aren't going to go and watch it, like, remember when Chad Townsend jumped and hit a stationary Kalen Ponga? It was kind of like that, except Chris Lawrence was moving.
Yeah,
that's the only difference. The only difference is that Kalen Ponga was standing still. It's that kind of tackle. It's so bad. From Nathan Merritt, of all people, who wasn't known for doing things like that. But, probably a send-off. And instead, Nick, Golden Point begins. John Sutton gets hurt almost immediately. And now Nathan Merritt is playing 5-8.
Yeah, it really got tough out
at this point.
Towards the end. Like, I love Golden Point. I absolutely love it. I always have. But this was one of those games where I was, you know, there's people who say, "Oh, it just turns into field goal shootouts and no one's any good at them, so they just spray them all the time." If I was anti Golden Point, the first 9 minutes and 58 seconds of extra time in this game are a great, great example in your favor. Like, nothing.
The first one is the Benji one that we mentioned from halfway, which is as close as either team gets. Chrissy has a couple crappy pot shots. Dando gets on right at the very end of the thing that gets charged down. But by and large, it's just going back and forth. No one's getting close to the try line. They're just trading places. It looks
you need a true surface to launch a field goal because you're relying on the ground to do so. You can't launch a field goal from the muck. And this game was in the muck. You know, it's part of the part of the appeal, part of the thrill. But it's a knife fight in the mud, baby.
We've played 89 minutes and 58 seconds rugby league. And it looks as though nothing will split these two teams. As I said, Chris Sander gets his kick charged down. Nobody told Reece West.
This is perfect. Tackle 4. Sando at the back. He strikes it. Charged down. And Asatasi, with 15 seconds to go, plays the football.
Great effort, Bryce Gibbs.
Are we going to get one more play? Wessa! South's looking to win. De Corrigan is...
I think this was, at this point in my life, the greatest moment of my life as a South fan.
Wow.
Think how shit we were. Like, that's not a high bar.
No. I understand that. Like, you'd only seen Souths make the finals once.
And they lost 30-6.
They got smashed by Manly. Maybe that win over the Roosters in 05. That first win in a long time.
Was grounded. Didn't go to the game.
Oh, that's tough. What about round 109 where you put 50 on them?
That was sick too. But
and Chrissy scores the chip and chase try. And
that's the thumbs down.
Russell Crowe does the thumbs down.
Yeah, but that's a game, Nick. This is a moment. And this moment, I think, only got superseded a couple of years later by You Can Take Me Now, I've Seen It All. But my God, you talked about how Reece Wesser didn't develop a passing game. Well, a weird day to make that point, Nick, as Reece Wesser throws the greatest pass in the history of rugby league.
5 metres forward.
Which didn't go forward, if it was forward, the referees would have called it as such.
It's so forward, Doc. I love it. But like I said, Maxwell, he let him play.
Yeah, let him play. Why is Sean Corrigan on the bench? I'll tell you why. Because John Sutton's going to get injured. Nathan Merritt's going to have to go to 5'8". Dylan Farrell's going to go to the wing. And Sean Corrigan's going to come in, play centre, and feed Dylan Farrell to score the winning try in the corner.
Bro, hat-trick on debut, winning try in extra time as the siren sounds. Like, you dream of things like that. Like, when you're kicking the footy around as a young fella, and you're like, oh, you know, Campton for the Raiders, this plucky debutant. You know what I mean? Like, it's not supposed to actually happen.
No.
It's never supposed to actually happen.
I was thinking about this, right? So, I vividly remember Luke Brooks's debut. I remember Sonny Bill's debut. Both fantastic games. Chrissy's debut as well. Fantastic game. I know Jordan Atkins and Charlie Staines both scored 4 tries in debut, but those were both blowout wins for their respective teams. I think you can make a case that in the NRL era, this is the best debut that a player has, because he didn't just find out on the day that he was playing and get thrown into first grade. He scores a hat trick, the first of which is a fantastic solo try, the second of which is a very classy bit of finishing. And then the third is, I assume, the latest a try has ever been scored in a regular season NRL game. To win the game for his club on debut, and to not only win the game, but to keep their season alive. I think when you factor all of that in, you can make the case that Dylan Farrell had the best debut for any player in the NRL era.
I'm not against it. I'm not against it. Like, what are some other great ones? Like Sonny Bill on debut. I know that was another blowout, but he was so good in that game. I remember the week after Sonny debuted, Laurie Daly had an article in Big League saying that Sonny Bill could become the greatest New Zealand player ever after one game. And you know what? The game was that good, you know? Or I think about
it was.
Billy Slater. He scored like a 60-meter try on debut for the Storm as part of a comeback from 22 points down. That's probably right up there as well. Remember Matt Moylan's debut for the Panthers against the Eels? But that was another blowout. Man, if you want to say that Farrell had the best ever...
Because I'm not sure it's the best performance, but when you factor in the importance of what he did, like other guys played better games on debut. Like I was there when Payne Haas debuted, and he looked like he was a 10-year veteran of the NRL, like as a kid. But I just think with what happened in this game and how it happened, I think you can say it's the best debut purely because of what it accomplished.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And then Farrell, God bless him, gives an incredibly pumped up interview post match, where it's clear he has no idea what he's saying.
No.
Like he's how old was he? Like 19 or something?
Yep.
And he's so young. He's so pumped. He's so excited and so happy for what him and the boys have pulled off. Just fantastic stuff. And like, again, the pass from Wesser is so forward, but I love how he plays the big part in this as well, just sort of knifing through past some lazy defenders. Did Sean Corrigan play first grade again after this?
Yes, he did.
How many games? Not many.
My most vivid memory of Sean Corrigan playing was the night me and Harry Ramage went up to Newcastle for the win and in game.
This is the only game he played this season. He played like, I think, 26 games overall. But I love that. Like another unlikely hero.
Yeah.
Sort of standing up and getting it done. Just unbelievable. And I swear to God, whoever was on the buzzer at ANZ Stadium that night held the button down and just like let it ring out, because it's the longest siren I think I've ever heard in my life.
And I vividly remember.
Good on him. Good for him.
I vividly remember waiting for to hear the referee's whistle to confirm the try as well. But you know it's going to get given though, because you know they can't call forward passes.
Well,
so
Do they send? They don't send it up at all, do they?
No, they don't. It's straight. Well, they can't. He scored. He grounded it. So
no, but yeah. Like this. Remember this.
You know,
you
think that they would check it when they like checking the fucking Kyle Felt try in the 2015 Grand Final. You think they check everything? They just look for reasons not to give tries. fun fact: the Sean Corrigan played 26 games, and the only try he scored was at that winning in game that me and Harry went to.
No way.
An outside back. That's quite bad.
Not the best.
Oh, what a player. But yeah, Dylan Farrell, it's interesting because, I mean, his career never really hit the heights that people thought it was going to. I think it's fair to say. And then, of course, he had some not great off-field stuff after that. And I hope he's still, I'm not sure what, do you know what he's up to now?
Last I heard he was playing in the
coaching Nowra, right?
Yeah, he's playing in Group 7. So he's back home. But I think that might have been as recently as last year.
Oh, good.
He was running around for them last year or the year before or something like that. So,
yeah. And do you remember, Nicholas, the other game he scored a hat-trick in?
I'll
give you a hint. It's another incredible finish.
I want to guess it's against Saints. Is it against Saints?
Yep. It sure is. In a game where they were down 20-0 against the defending premiers at Wynn Stadium. And I remember I was sitting in the media, I was at that game. I remember sitting in the media, and another prominent rugby league journalist said this could be an apology game from John Lang, as I think someone went over to make it 20-0 after like 30 minutes. But instead, second half hat-trick, Dylan Farrell, if you remember, and then South ended up winning. And I think Nathan Merritt scores after the siren to make it 34-24. But yeah, it came from 20-0 down against the defending premiers to beat them. And Dylan Farrell got a hat-trick that day, the match winner as well.
I just Googled Dylan Farrell to see what he's doing at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Life in retirement's been tough.
Ah, all right. Yep. Well, I hope he gets the help he needs because he was a part of some really good moments for me as a South fan, both in that Tigers game and that Dragons game a year later. And this game, yeah, it was fantastic. But it's funny because South did the double over the Tigers this year, but it's the Tigers who end up going on to almost win the competition. As we discussed, they make it all the way to the preliminary final against the eventual premiers, St. George, losing 13-12 in a game that I went to that was a really, really, really good game. And South,
it's
of course,
like 70,000 or something.
It was packed.
Out of stadium Australia.
And South, of course, go into the final game of the season knowing, I remember they played the Sunday, a Sunday 7
a Sunday
PM
night
kickoff.
Game. Yes. Yeah.
And I'll remember, I'll never forget this because I was at work again and it had come out that South were resting Jamie Sauer, Ben Hornby, Dean Young, Jeremy Smith, Trent Merrin. And a couple of other guys. It came out they were resting all these guys for the finals because they were locked into first spot. And I remember people thinking, oh, Bungard, you're going to make the finals. And a Dragons team, the back line is still unbelievable. The back five is Boyd, Morris, Gasnier, Cooper, Nightingale. So I don't care who else
so
on
it's,
the field.
It's the big time back five.
But a half combination of Kyle Stanley and Nathan Fein.
Nathan Fein was a good player. You leave him alone.
Yeah, and a forward pack of Neville Costigan, old Luke Pritis, Mick Waban, Bo Scott, Ben Cray, Matt Pryor, and a bench of Jared Saffy, Nick Emmett, John Green, and Cameron King.
What a bench.
Against a full-strength Rabbitohs, and you thought all they got to do is win it in. Souths are up 18-16 at halftime. Dragons win 38-24. Ben Cray scores a hat-trick.
You've buried the lead there because the Dragons were up 16-0 because Ben Cray got a hat-trick in the first, 15 minutes.
Yep.
It's not what you want, you know?
No, this was in the time period where South finished ninth, like 2 or 3 years in a row, losing win and in games in multiple years. So
win and in game was worse? This one?
I think this one was worse because at least with the Knights one, I was with Harry and I was happy for him. So it was fine. And then, you know, after that, things were pretty good for a few years. So it's okay. But yeah, this game 2010, I'll never forget, my mate Jack, who I used to work at McDonald's with, had a Facebook notification. I checked Facebook after this game, and then it was like Jack Clark. This was 2010, so people used to post on each other's walls. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And it was like, Jack Clark has posted on your wall. And I clicked on it and it said, this post is gone. I messaged him. I'm like, did you post a ha-ha sucked in because he was a Tigers fan? I'm like, did you post a gloating message on my wall and then delete it after he won? And he was like, yes.
Oh, what a scumbag.
Cop that.
What a
scumbag. You got to leave it.
You got to leave it. Although, if you do leave it, then you can end up in a situation like you are in now where every time the middle of the year comes around, people find an old status of yours about Nathan Merritt playing
Nathan
Origin
Merritt Day is the worst day of my life. It is it's like the day, whatever day it was that year, Facebook memories is like 12 of my mates posting on my Facebook going, Nathan Merritt's shit.
I think that's all that's keeping Facebook alive now.
It's the worst day of my and I never remember when it's coming. And I just wake up and I just hear like, it's like all these wall posts, oh, Nathan Merritt sucks. I'm like, ah, Yes, it's that day. Good. The worst day of my life. Oh, well. The worst day of my life so far.
That's right, brother. It can always get worse.
It can. It can get a lot worse. We're pretty lucky. We're pretty fortunate. It's,
so, I real quick, though. So, you're watching this game in the Fox Sports stats bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you react? What do you do? Do you fall to your knees like Willem Dafoe?
It's not the press box. Like... There was cheering all the time during games that people played. Yeah. There was a lot of yelling. Everyone was hooting and hollering. Everyone. So I wasn't alone. So it was fine. It was great.
Did they carry you to the pub on their shoulders?
They didn't, unfortunately. I remember one of them was like, that's gone fucking 10 meters forward. But and you know what? If it was forward, they would have called it.
That's so, right. So by definition, it must have gone backwards.
It went so far forward. Is it the most forward pass that's ever been allowed to score? Because it's one thing, right? It's like when someone pops a short, you think like 2014 grand final when Kiri throws last pass to Inglis for that try. That's forward, right? But that's a little short ball in the middle of the field. If the ref misses that, so be it. Also, it's the end. Who gives a shit? The Wester pass is a fucking Sam Walker Harbour Bridge pass that goes 30 meters. It's like, how have you missed this?
Maxwell's just letting him play.
Let the
players decide.
And you know what? Decided they did. Nathan Merritt, we salute you. What a king. Why did I say Nathan Merritt? Reese Wester. I'm still thinking about Nathan Merritt and how I always wanted the best for him.
Still rattled by those Facebook memories.
And like always, this ends with me being sad about Nathan Merritt's career. Fantastic. All right. We did it. That was it. 2010. You like that? You get more of them if you give us money. That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a certain tier that you can sign up on the Patreon where
you can suggest your own game.
You suggest the games for us. The only rule is no grand finals because they're too easy. But if you want to, if you have a game that's near and dear to your heart that you want us to,
I'm not doing the 2013 prelim.
You must.
Why did I say that?
You must. The only rule is no grand finals.
Well, I'm making it a rule.
No, I will not have it. What about the other prelim?
No games where Tom Simons scores the last try of the game for Manly. That's my other rule. Fucking hell.
What if someone wants to do the Roosters Knights prelim from 2013?
Will you deny them? No, I would never. I want someone to pick like the most rankest, shittest game, like a round 9 game at the old Townsville Stadium where like the Cowboys won like 12-8 against the Crushers or some shit.
If I wanted to do something like that, there's the game I would pick. I think it's like 2015 or 16. And the Cowboys beat the Tigers 8-0 at Campbelltown.
I remember that game. Yeah.
And I think for the first 78 minutes, it's 2-0. And neither team can do
it. I want to do that Dragons Eels game where they win 8-1.
No, that's awesome, though.
I'll never forgive Matt Cooper for scoring that try at the end. I know. It should have been 2-1. 2-1 would have been amazing. Oh, well.
We would have told the kids about it. Now it's just a sideshow. Now it's nothing.
And also, the only other rule is we're at the mercy of what fucking games we can find, you know, the full game on.
Yeah. It's getting easier, though.
It's getting better. Shout out Rabbitohs Rewinds for posting this whole game on the YouTube channel.
That's right. If you have a game that you want us to talk about, just get on there and let us know.
If you can find the YouTube or somewhere of it in advance and send that with us, that helps your chances of us picking your game.
Yeah.
So... There we go. We did it. And you must be a member.
Read out the names, baby.
Of our Patreon subscribers. We've got patreon.com/NRLRookies. You get access to our Discord server. Entry into the Coltrane Cup, which is coming up. The best footy tipping competition on earth. And you'll get an extra show every single week, as well as the option to choose greatest games and other whatnot. So, thank you to Chris Savnell, Dave, Go Woke, Go Captain Australia, Rocky and Rafi, Stew, Ashley and Martin, Broncos legend Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Pom, Butsy, Chivaka Snuffleupagus, Dan Cullinane, David, Doc Hogg, an anonymous backer, Ed Burton, he remains an Englishman. Hi, I'm Mitt Bertrand and I have redacted. I was saying Boo Ernst, Jerome Loi, Hungy, Pitt, Gift Fund, Jason, Joe, Joel Wrigley, John, Josh Brandon, Kicks Outside of the Cop, Lachlan Hancock, Luke Charles Smidmore, Mads Taylor's version, Matthew Duggan, Michael, Bulldog Burton's Booming Bombs, Bamboozle, Bumbling Backs, Murray, Mr. Beefy, Morgan Watkins, my name is Nick Campton, Rugby Union is my favorite type of rugby, my ding ding dong is hard and I am sad, never trendy, now four walls are your 24-hour-a-day constant companions, All Mac 78, Reese Brown, Rodrigo Eduardo, go! I can't yell or the microphone cuts out. Roxanne Clark, Steven Vegas, Shunter Ty, the Black Vegetable, the Quiet Man in the Stand, Thor, Tom Hardy, Was. We are now having shouts to everyone in the lower tiers and everyone listens. All listeners, please send $5 Australian to @TheMattBungard on Twitter.com. Westlife Podcast, West Tigers are back, baby. William Henry Harrison and, I never guard my buns, but thank you for your support to everyone in the lower tiers and to everyone who just listens. Thank you as well.
Shout out the Quiet Man in the Stand.
I do like that some have changed and some have stayed the same. Speaking of Broncos legend Adam Reynolds, I did love the first story of the preseason. Oh, Reynolds got a niggling injury at training.
We got to get some games happening soon, dude. Even if they're just trial games, people are going crazy with it. Like the second someone pulls up a bit sore at training, they're like, season in jeopardy.
I mean, you and I know better than to click on those stories, but for the rest of you, I will encourage, make 2024 the year that you don't click on any of those clickbait headlines for any of the aggregation websites. Read Campo stuff, read my stuff whenever I do feel like writing something, read stuff on the Herald, read stuff that our friends at AAP and the Telegraph write, and just fuck everything else off.
Be the Reese Wessing I see in the world.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But yeah, I no, has anyone trained the house down yet? Have you seen?
No, but we're getting closer to that. Once once we start getting closer to trials and, like, you know, we start talking about the rookies and the Supercoach cheapies and all that sort of stuff, then some houses going to be trained down.
Has a large lad won the Battle of the Bulge yet?
Oh, Valance Tavare.
He sure did.
Yeah, 100%.
By knockout.
Man. Yeah.
I remember reading.
That,
I remember you.
Cop the that little bulge.
Bro, the little guide used to get in the paper every year. The little sort of like pocket sized guide you'd get for the preseason, the preview. Mm. Every year it'd be like, oh, and Craigie's won his latest round of the with the Battle of the Bulge. And then the season would start and he'd just be a big fat dynamo again. It was sick. I loved it.
The only way that this 2010 game could have been better would have been if Owen Craigie played one half for both sides.
Man, what a player. Oh, that was a fun one. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, so I thought you might.
I'm going to go have a cold shower or something. Not just because this game was so exciting, because it's 37 degrees.
Very good. Let's get out of here.
All right. Say goodbye, Nick.
Goodbye, Bertrand.
That's goodbye from me.